It's a real privilege and joy to be with you all tonight. And I didn't think for one minute that it was so long since I have been here, because somehow the relationships are all very close and time doesn't really enter in, but we're glad to be with you. Now, I don't know for why, but I've tried, I've prayed, I've bowed before the Lord, and yet I feel my exercise must continue. And I'm going to speak to you in these nights and moments of we're together on the subject of consecration. So let us open with the words in the chapter found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. And I'm going to read the whole of the chapter, knowing God will bless it. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernel even to the husk. All the days of his vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body, or he shall not come near to a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister when they die, because the consecration," well, it's the same word, "because the separation of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation is holy unto the Lord, and if any man die very suddenly by him, and yet defile the head of his separation or consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate or separate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost or void, because his separation was defiled. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and waters and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meal offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering, and he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meal offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with a wave breast and heave shoulder. And after that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that, that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he voweth, so he must do after the law of his separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now may the Lord bless to us the reading of his word and give us all the help we need to understand what we have read. I always like to present the context of a chapter of this nature, and while it wouldn't take that much time, and I trust, beloved, you know the context of chapter 5. Have a look at it when you have opportunity. Now, the main point in chapter 5 is this. We have in anticipation what may be termed an unfaithful woman. Possibility could be, and if it were so, then the Lord Jehovah directs what must be done to her and for her. That's a very solemn chapter. What is interesting to notice now in chapter 6, there is anticipated a faithful man, a Nazarite, an unfaithful woman in chapter 5. And I think if you examine chapter 5, it's the smallest, it's the least of the offerings that ever a person could bring. Which indicates, beloved, if we're not faithful, if we're not holy, if we're not obeying the word of God that we know, our offering, our worship is very fragile and very feeble. That's the lesson I've learned from chapter 5. And when we come to chapter 6, we have a faithful man. And if you could list all that this man brings when the days of a separation is fulfilled, I cannot find another portion of my Bible where an individual has to bring so much and is able to bring so much to God in heart thanksgiving. Well, it's very clear, isn't it? And it's simply this, young people especially, if you're living not in the path of righteousness, if you're not obeying the word of God, if you're not living as you ought to live, remember, your worship, your adoration, your appreciation of the Lord Jesus is tragically small. But I found out from experience, and you have found out from the reading of this chapter, surely, the more devoted, and if this Nazarite can go right through the period of his devotion to God, look what he brings. What a fullness. And really, beloved, is this. The more I live as God would have me live, then the more I can value all that the Savior is for me and you. Have you got that? An unfaithful woman, chapter 5. A faithful man in chapter 6. And 12 faithful men in chapter 7. The longest chapter in the Bible apart from another one. Have a look at that chapter. And you'll find 12 sections in that chapter that are all the same words, except the name of the person mentioned. Isn't it wonderful? You see what they bring? 12 men responsible to God, and look what they bring in worship. And then when we come to chapter 8, thousands of men. Is that right? Because, and we'll see it in the night to come or so, here's the consecration of the Levites. And you know, they weren't just two or three, were they? You know, the sons, each of them, the three groups, man, it's quite crowded, wasn't it? So wonderful to see the development in a chapters of this nature. An unfaithful woman, a faithful man, 12 faithful men, and the number becomes almost incredible in chapter 8. That's what we want to see, isn't it? Not why you teach the word of God, brother? Not why you preach the truth of God as you know it? Because you want to see others. And you want to see as many as God can bring that respond to the word of the living God. Now, very quickly, the intent of Nazariteship. I would feel the intent of the Nazarite is he's responding in a very devoted way to the mercies of God. After all, when you think of what he was before the deliverance God wrought for him. He was in Egypt. He was in bondage. He was under the taskmaster's whip. But the moment came when he was delivered by the Passover feast. Oh, thank God for that lamb that was slain. What a picture of the Lord Jesus tonight. Exodus 12. What a change has come into our lives, friends, in Christ. The moment we put our trust in the living, loving, lifting Christ of Calvary. What a change has been wrought. Well, I think that's the background, isn't it? Here's this dear man, and he has come a long way now, and God has brought him to a point where the Word of God is urging him to display his devotedness to God in a very, very singular manner. I'm going to ask you, brother, I'm going to ask you, sister, as I ask myself, has that ever come to you? And you know the distinction he's going to make this man to be? You know that he's going to be more like a woman than a man? You know he's going to change his very outlook or his look, isn't it? But it's beckoned by devotion to Jehovah that redeemed him, that rescued him, that brought him into relationship with Jehovah God. And he wishes now to display his position. Redeemed from bondage, received the inheritance. Now what's he going to do? Listen, he's going to register his allegiance to Jehovah. Now I'm going to ask myself a question. Do you mind me asking you? Can you mark a moment in your life when you registered your allegiance to God in a very devoted manner? That's important. And I feel that we can go on for a long time without ever being challenged on a point of that nature. But surely it must have been in this man's soul. Because for him to decide and to fulfill what God required would demand devotion, the like of which no one had ever seen before. Now, I feel, beloved, this is something you can reach. This is something I can reach by that grace that God can give. But the point is, have I ever come to God in devotion, in response, in return, and in respect of what he has done for me? That's what this Nazarite's going to do. Now, what does God require? We're going to call it now the content of Nazariteship. The first thing that's affected is his appetite. his appetite, his natural, inborn, ongoing appetite. Now, you understand that, don't you? After all, we came a long way today and there wasn't much food provided on the plane. And we got into a lovely home that you know, and the dear sister provided us with a beautiful meal. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. You can understand that. That's natural, isn't it? But listen, here is a man, and because of his devotion and determination to manifest his devotion to the Jehovah God, his appetite's going to be affected. Things that he would maybe normally take, things that to him would be no problem, God now specifies, no. Now, I'm not thinking about the rice. I'm not thinking about that. What I'm thinking about before you tonight in this meeting is, what do you feed on? What do you feed on? I'm not talking about the soda bread or the potato bread, that's what we get in Ireland. Not talking about that. Nothing wrong with that. What I'm talking about is this, beloved. What is it sustained your life? Well, says someone, I come to the meetings. Is that all? You see, we must be very practical because this is separation. This is consecration. Now, God says to this man, no wine. Now, that deals with his, what I would call, legitimate desires. Legitimate desires. He could have had these things, but God said, the moment you yield to me in Nazarite-ship, no more. Well, now, you know, that's a big isolation, isn't it? Something that I may enjoy. Something that I might even feel I need. When I look and think of the one that suffered and died for me at Calvary, have I to forgo this for his glory? And am I willing to do so, whatever it may be? And you know, beloved, there are many things in the world tonight. Many things that even in our Christian home that could feed anything but spiritual devotion. You know that. So here's why God specifies what they must do in order to conform to his mind and will. No wine. Not only is his appetite affected, but his appearance is now affected. His appearance. Well, you know what it means, don't you? The Lord Jehovah said, all the days of your separation, there shall be no razor come upon his head. That is, his hair is to grow. So that if you saw him in the street, in contrary to what would be general, you're walking behind him and his long hair, you would think he was a woman. I can see it in the street here and everywhere. But it's got nothing to do with it, has it? But what it is here, beloved, his very appearance indicates a devotion. That's incredible. His very appearance. Now I ask myself, come on now, what about my appearance? When no eyes upon me. And when an eye is upon me, am I any different? That's important. Because it was God that looked at this man. And as God viewed him every day, he could see the marks, he could see the features of his devotion being wonderfully displayed in his very hair. You know, beloved, that's a very important issue. I'm not talking about it literally in relation to you and me. But what I am talking about is this. My very appearance, my very manner of life, the order in which I'm governed in principle day by day becomes indicative of the strength, of the depth, of the power of my devotion to my God. Is that right? Now, you know what that means practically. I hope you do now. Because let me just give you some illustrations, and I hope you don't mind me speaking of myself in this respect. I worked in Shorten Harlands for 17 years, and I'm thankful to say, in those 17 years, I saw more blessing in the salvation of souls, in the gathering out of God's people, than I could ever count. Why? Well, I discovered that as soon as I went into that place, I was only 15 the first day I went in. You see, we're not at school, no. I left school before I was 13, before I was 14, you know. Why? Well, I told my father, Dad, I said, I've won two scholarships. One to Ince. Brother Dan never would know where Ince was. And one to Mercantile College in Clifton Street. My dear Dad said, son, look, I wouldn't have enough money to buy you a skull cap, never mind a blazer. And that was the end of it. But I would feel, beloved, now let me tell you my own experience before God. I would tell you that in those days, God brought me through experiences I can never forget. People thought I was just an ordinary guy, like them. And when I didn't do what they did, when I didn't want what they wanted, when I didn't go where they went, I said, you're an odd bod. See? Oh, I could tell you, friend. I could tell you. And after I was a long time in the place, was now in the drawing office, highly qualified by God's help. One day, a man caught me by the tie. I got it. Bentley! Yeah. On Monday you're out, or we're in and you're out. Oh. Now, don't mind me saying this, friends. If I had done that, I'd have put him on his back. But I left it with God. Straightened my tie, and he went away. I spent the rest of that weekend in the presence of God with my late wife. And we cried to God for a token. You see, I wouldn't join the union. Well, I went in Monday morning, my head down, afraid to look up. Worked away. Nobody said a thing. Came 10 to 10, coffee time. A friend came over and said, did you hear about Ron? No. Ron. That's the boy caught me by the collar. Oh, what happened? Well, he says, you know they went out at 4:30 to paint a friend's house. I said, dude, because this dear friend worked in the drawing office for many years, but he became so imbecile, it couldn't work. And these men went to paint the outside of his house. The man that caught me by the collar and said, it's either you and Monday me, or us are out or in, whatever it was. He was painting the right side of the house. And after he finished it, he brought this big ladder round to the front. And there was a mighty wind that blew him and the ladder down. And the ladder fell on his leg and broke it. And listen, never saw that man again in the office. Never saw him again. I saw him in hospital. I went to hospital, gave him a few tracts, preached the gospel to him. Now, why do I give you that illustration? Because I felt I could not absorb myself or allow myself to be implicated in something from which I was separated. And you know, beloved, I never forget that experience much more, but all I want to say is this. Whenever God speaks to us, whenever God desires us to see His mind and will, it will be a cost. It will have a price. Brother, young or old, pay it for the glory of God. Whatever it may be, that's what this man's doing. He's given up his right as a man. He's more like a woman than a man. What's next? What about his associations? What about his associations? What do you mean? Well, the Lord says, now listen, I know it's a very natural thing. If your father died, you'd be the first to be at his side, wouldn't you? Or your mother, or your brother, or your sister. Well, now, the moment you become a Nazarite, you're not allowed to defile yourself by the death of your father, mother, brother, or sister. The most natural links that a man has. Where would he be if he hadn't a mother and father? He wouldn't be at all. See? A brother and a sister die. Jehovah says, no. You're not to defile yourself by the dead body of your father, mother, brother, or sister, or any other person. What do you think of that? You know, beloved, many a time we have taught the truth, haven't you? And the brother says, or the sister says, well now, my father says this, and my mother says this, my friends say something else. I'm sorry. That's sad, isn't it? Happens. So, beloved, let us feel tonight that once we come into this path of Nazariteship in separation to God, because we can, in the measure in which it's possible through divine grace, natural relationships, while we welcome them, while we recognize them, must never have an effect upon us that would be contrary to the mind of God. The point is, it happened, or it's anticipated that it did happen. And somehow or another, this man's Nazariteship was defiled. What do you do? Duly lost. Now, it wasn't something he did willingly. But let us get the sensitivity of God's word here, beloved. Let us get it in our souls tonight, please. And I want you to not to misunderstand this. It is possible that even though our intentions for God may be right and correct, that's not the end. You and I could be actually involved, infected by something which we're really not conscious of at all. So, beloved, to be holy in Christ Jesus, to be sanctified in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a holy life as God would have us, in absolute devotion, is a more sensitive issue possibly than we ever could realize. Because here's a person, over these days, weeks, months, or years, he's in the path of absolute devotion to God, and suddenly, he loses it. I don't think he was responsible, but accidentally, he lost it. What about the many that are responsible for it? You know, many years ago, there was a dear brother that I loved. And he and his friend preached throughout the country in Northern Ireland for years. And saw precious souls saved. Many a time I went to listen to them, joined with them in prayer, went over them in tracts, and did all I could to help them. Now listen carefully. One night, this brother was found in a place in Belfast he should not have been. Once. He said this, and he said that, I understand, and he said something else. But listen, it was a place that anyone that lived in the city knew. There's only one purpose you went in there at night. There he was found inside. What happened? I never saw him again. Why? The whole of that man's life was defiled. One of the saddest things I've ever known. I never saw him again. I don't know when he died. No one could tell me, because he just faded out. In fact, the next time his friend preached, I preached with him. So you understand how I felt, knowing this brother so closely, to think that we would never see him again. Oh, beloved in Christ, thy heart's touched by this. What about us? We are thankful for his grace to us. We're thankful for the love of which he has loved us. We thank you for the sacrifice he made to bring us to himself. But are we devoted? Are we consecrated? Now the word here is different to the general word consecration. You know that. Here's the word that's translated for the greater number of times, separated. Separated. But it's another form of the word consecrated, right? But it's different to the word we're going to see tomorrow night, right? You see, the other passages, the hand is filled. That's consecration. But here, the whole being is separated. And that's consecration in the word of Numbers chapter 6. Where's the clock? Oh. 9 o'clock. Is that all right? What? Oh, no, no, no. Verse 13. And this is the law of the Nazarite when the days of a separation are fulfilled. Isn't that good? You see, I like this. Here's the extent of Nazarite. And beloved, let me just appeal to you with all my soul tonight. And it's a delight to be with you because I've looked for this for a long time. I do trust each of us know the extent of our devotion to him. When will it give up? When will it come to an end? Listen, not until we see him face to face. Well, that's the case. That's here, isn't it? And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought to one of the most public places in the testimony of God, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What a public place. The priests will see him. The Levites will see him. Children of Israel will see him. There they're all gathered. And here's this Nazarite at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What's it going to be up there, beloved? When you and I stand before the Christ of God, when all the redeemed will be there, and I'll stand before him, I wonder, I just try to think, beloved, what it will mean to see him face to face when he accounts to me what I have done. What's next? Notice what he does. I want you to enter into the profuseness of his worship. What does he do? He brings a he lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram, listen, without blemish for a peace offering. Right? A lamb, and a ram. I think this is wonderful. The acceptability of the burnt offering is the first one, isn't it? The lamb for the sin offering brings in the ministry of subjectivity. The ram for the peace offering brings in the subject of intensity. Right? Acceptability, subjectivity, and intensity. Now, look at those three expressions I've given you. And then think of the value and think of the intent of God in telling this good man that has fulfilled the days of his separation to come before him in the fullness of that sacrifice that's totally acceptable to God, the burnt offering. And then think of the fact that even though he lived a holy life in separation, he still required a lamb for a sin offering. Right? And then think of all the intensity of his devotion. Now it's to bring a ram for the peace offering. Now those three subjects, or those three offerings, will be enough for the rest of this week, as you know. In other words, beloved, when we stand before that Blessed One in that day, we're going to stand before him knowing he took our place at Calvary. He answered the will of God in the work of God and all that God ever determined for you and me. And then we're going to look at the one that bore our sins in his own body in the tree. And then we're going to look at him, we're going to see the one that brought us into fellowship eternally. Oh friend, that's enough, is it not? Think of this dear man, coming to the most public place, for every eye to see, look that upon which he brings. But there it is, we stand before the one that this speaks of. We think of the sacrifice he made. Think of the position he took for me. Think of all he enabled me to do by his grace. What's next? Well, I don't know if you ever looked at these things. And one basket of unleavened bread. Oh, by the way, you read your Bible, son, don't you? Come and tell me tomorrow night how many baskets there are in the Bible. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Got that, young man? How many baskets are used in the Bible? Here's one anyhow. It's pretty full. So if you come tomorrow night, I might just ask you if you've got a note on me. Okay? All right. Now, what's next? Basket of unleavened bread. Not wonderful. Then, the delicacy of the wafers. Cakes. Wafers. Then the meal offering. Oh, not wonderful. Because we've had the burnt offering, we've had the sin offering, we've had the peace offering, and here's the meal offering. Ah, oh, but wait a minute now. Come on now. You notice something? Bush says, if I read them, that's not man down there, I don't know well. Yeah. Well, I'd be asking him, why is it in the first 9 verses there's a reference to the trespass offering, but there's none in these verses? Why? You ever thought of that? Notice that? Please. Verse number 12, and he shall separate, and he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a he lamb of the first year for his trespass offering. For a trespass offering. But don't mention a trespass offering in this section. Why? See? Burnt offering, sin offering, peace offering, meal offering. And this man's drawing upon the resources of Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, and the last part of 5. No, the first part of 5. But in this section, no trespass. Why? You know why? Because, listen, friend, there was nothing that he did that destroyed or defiled his devotion to his God. Wish I could say that. I wish I could say that. What's next? The moment came, I have other mentions, but the moment came when his hair was cut. Somebody caught it and threw it out. No. Where'd it go? Look what it did. And shall take the hair of the head of his separation and put it on the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. In absolute fellowship with Jehovah. Absolute. The marks, the tokens, the signs, the evidence of his wholehearted devotion to Jehovah falls into the fire of the peace offering. That's wonderful. He has entered into what God has provided, what God has promoted in its fullness. I trust you will as well. Then, of course, is the shoulder and the breast, and then he shall drink wine. Now, before I finish, let us turn to Amos. The prophecy of Amos, please, and chapter 2. The prophecy of Amos and chapter 2. Verse 11. And I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, said the Lord? But ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Now listen, I want to tell you something. I have come here this week with a determination of heart. I'm not just here for the sake of it. And I've prayed before God, Lord, give me help to help. See? And we've done this in many places. What we've discovered afterward, people have come and said, now you don't just have to take that, what Bentley says. It's not what Bentley says, what this book says. That's what it says. In those days, God had raised up young men as Nazarites. But they gave them wine to drink. They cancelled their devotion. Did you do that? You see, many a young person and an older friend would come to a brother in Christ. What should I do? I would ask why. And in prayerful atmosphere in the presence of God, I would take the book and would seek to direct them in that path of devotion. But I can tell you of many brethren now in heaven that I did that with. I needed it. I went to them. They opened the Bible. They prayed. They helped. Now that's what's here. But these young men who were Nazarites and whom God had made prophets, they gave them wine to drink. They counteracted the work of God in their souls by causing them to corrupt, by causing them to cancel their wholehearted separation and devotion to God. That's sad. That is very sad. And you know, I could give you illustrations, I don't want to mention them, where we had to readjust many people that got the wrong advice. And brethren, I do trust not one of us in this gathering tonight would dare to contradict the will of God, as did these people. You give Nazarites wine to drink. What did they do? They cancelled their devotion. They cancelled their separation. They brought to an end all that these people that God had done in them to a complete conclusion before it was ever in the will of God. And I trust none of us would dare do such a thing in relation to devotion. Lamentations, please. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, right? Lamentations. Chapter 4. Verse 7. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. Not mighty. That's a wonderful verse. I love this verse because what does it do? Here are people in the days of Jeremiah, and they were conforming to the mind of God in a path of devotedness and separation to Jehovah. What happened? Their visage is blacker than coal. They're not known in the streets. The skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. Who did that? Themselves. In Amos, it was others did it. But in Lamentations, people who for some long time were totally separated to God in Nazariteship. Look at them now. Don't bear the same resemblance. Oh, beloved, could I just appeal to you as I appeal to my heart? How will it be before my day is over? How will it be? Oh, so someone I'd expect. No, that's not the point. You know, beloved, as we walk through the scene of time, the temptation, the power of evil is never diminished. But you and I must resolve in the presence of God tonight to resolve this point. Lord, I'm devoted to Thee entirely. I'm devoted to Thee essentially. I'm devoted to Thee expectantly. Right to the moment we see Him face to face, we'll not have changed in our lives for Him. A few minutes. Philippians, please. Chapter 1. the governing principle in a sanctified life. What is it? For to me to live is Christ. That simple? So some of those Old Testament patterns are very difficult. I know they are. But this isn't, is it? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Verse 21 of chapter 1. The glorious pattern in a sacrificial life. Listen to these words. Lovely words, aren't they? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, is the revised. Made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul says, there's my pattern. And I think of Paul, and your friend, I can't bear it, because I've read things and it brought the tears to my eyes. Will you ever think of that morning? The dear brother Paul, the dear servant of God, was brought out to that road. They told him to kneel down and they cut off his head. What a sight it must have been. In a moment of time, he had taken the eagle flight into heaven. But oh friend, listen. What's he doing? He's fulfilling what he knew. He's fulfilling what he wrote. For he knew the Savior did the same for him. Chapter 3. I love these words. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion, revise, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation. And what? Who shall that it may be conformed, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, our body of glory. What a transformation. Chapter 4, please. How am I going to do it? Verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. May God bless his word to all our hearts. And if you want to live holy in Christ Jesus, if you want to live the Nazarite life of consecration, it's not by your strength. Get these words of Paul. I can do all things. Why? Because he strengtheneth me. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for thy word that is ever so practical and ever so precious, but exceedingly pertinent. If we have failed thee, Lord, we know there is forgiveness with thee, and we pray that thou wilt grace us with thy renewed presence. Give us help to live a holy life. Give us help, Lord, to conform to the principles of number 6 for thy glory and for our spiritual and eternal good. We bless thee for this opportunity to be with thy people. We trust thou wilt bless us in nights to come as we look to thee now. In his worthy and precious name. Amen.